Joe Fisher joins us now, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. Joe, what's happening this morning? Hang on a second. Joe, are you with us?
Joseph.
Hello, Joe.
Oh, there you are. Okay. I was hearing nothing there for a while.
Okay. Well, we talked a lot about football yesterday, but lost in all that was a victory for the basketball team against Morehead State back on Sunday.
Yeah, it was kind of a typical first game, guys. They won 74-48, a team that they have a superior height advantage to and a depth advantage as well. It was one of those sort of undersized teams that comes in here and can give your big guys problems. And it struggled early against them, but things sort of settled down middle of the first half. And then from there, in the second half, Vanderbilt just sort of methodically pulled away. And I think one of the things that was exciting in the game was A.J. Ogilvie gets just 12 points in the game, but he is surrounded by balanced scoring. Jermaine Beals in double figures, Brad Tinsley in double figures, Jeffrey Taylor in double figures, Lance Goulborn in double figures, and the early indications that some of these young guys might be able to shoot the basketball pretty well to give Vanderbilt maybe a little bit better perimeter scoring than they had hoped early on. So we'll see. It's going to pick up a notch now Thursday night. Illinois comes to town, and Illinois is in the midst of a bit of a rebuilding part as well, so it'll be a young but talented team, and it'll be a good early test.
Yeah, and Joe, again, you know, I mentioned how close Bruce Weber, coach of Illinois, and Kevin Stallings are, to the point where, you know, sometimes Kevin doesn't like to play his friends. What prompted this?
You know, it's a really good question. I think they both agreed timing-wise that it was a good time to do it. They both needed a game, you know, a home-and-home kind of series, and so they agreed to it. But you are right. There are some folks that I know Kevin doesn't want to play. I know early on a lot of people were saying, why don't you ask, you know, Roy Williams to play you, you know, when he went to North Carolina and Kevin was trying to get the program going. And that was one of those things where Kevin said, I wouldn't put Roy in that position. You know, I wouldn't ask him, you know, to do me a big favor and play me in a game that, quite frankly, doesn't do him any good, you know. So I think it's two guys that kind of realize that they can help each other's programs by playing a home and home. And so, but you're right, he and Bruce Weber are very close. They talk very often.
Maybe they did play North Carolina, we just didn't hear about it.
You know, it would be interesting if they did.
It sure would be interesting.
Joe, Bobby Johnson said something interesting. I brought something up to him, and he acknowledged that the win over Kentucky really takes the pressure off the team for the final two games. Mm-hmm. And then I have another follow-up to that question. Your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. I think the hardest one to get is six, just because that big gorilla has been sitting on your back for so long. You've been asked about it. It does, I think, take a little bit of the pressure off. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to win eight games, but I do think it does remove a little bit of that cloud of pressure because they've been asked over and over and over, you know, is this the year? And to be sitting on five for 5 weeks – I think the pressure was beginning to build up a little bit, so I totally agree with him.
And realistically, you know, Vanderbilt isn't totally out of the woods in terms of getting a bowl berth, or into the woods for that matter, because Arkansas and Auburn are still in play.
Yeah, it's still not 100% done. And it's one of those things where if Vanderbilt really wants to secure themselves, they need to win at least another game. But I think it's probably a 90 to 95% probability. You're right. Auburn can still get there with a win over Alabama. Arkansas needs two wins down the stretch to get there to get to 6-6. But the other thing that's going to factor into it, for example, you know, Vanderbilt's going to finish third in the SEC East. That probably has some weight as well. So I don't think they have a whole lot to worry about, but they certainly can make their road a little easier if they win seven or eight games.
Yeah, Joe, even if they... If Auburn and Arkansas both made it, Vanderbilt would still have a better conference record. Wouldn't that be something of a factor, you would think?
I think so. Plus, they'd have a win over Auburn.
Sure.
So I think that would help. Now, you know, from Arkansas' standpoint, it would help to finish strong, to win a couple of games. From Auburn's standpoint, it would certainly help them to beat an Alabama, you know, to beat the number one team in the country. So there are a lot of factors still floating out there, but you're right. Vanderbilt's basically got its fate in its own hands, and they can sort of take all the pressure off by going on and getting this one Saturday.
I want to talk about two guys, one on each side of the ball, that I really thought stood out Saturday and might not have gotten, you know, the proper accolades because of, you know, some other players. You know, Chris Marv had five tackles and a quarterback hurry. And Brandon Braden has been pretty solid at tight end. You know, four catches for 20 yards and a touchdown. And that's a pretty interesting story about his transfer from Virginia Tech.
You know, Barden was not even a tight end until he came here. And he has shown, you know, he was a quarterback. And he has shown great athletic ability. Those catches he made on Saturday, and not just the touchdown catch that he made, a one-handed behind his back sort of reception, but two other catches, at least I can remember, were both low throws back behind him. And he was able to make an athletic move and make the play. He's got outstanding hands. And he runs well, and he's big, so it's a very good combination. He has become a very solid receiver. You know, transferred from Virginia Tech after the incident up there, and sort of got a fresh start here, and has really fit in wonderfully with the offense. Chris Marv is a guy that they expected a lot of, maybe not this quickly. They knew he was going to be an outstanding player. He's only a redshirt freshman out of Memphis, out of White Station, but he's got a motor that's on go all the time. He's very aggressive, and he's got a great nose for the football. You know, there are two or three plays this year he's made, you know, stripping the ball at the goal line against Ole Miss. He's done it on a couple of other occasions as well. He's just got a great nose for the football, and, you know, that linebacking crew has really sort of been unheralded, but they have been out very solid. Benoit and Stokes and Marv have been very, very good.
And Marv was even banged up at one point in the Kentucky game, was out for all of about one play, and back in there.
Yeah, he got hurt. He laid on the ground for a while. I was really worried. He laid on his face for a while, then rolled over on his back and got up, walked off slowly, and I was like, oh, boy, this could be bad. And he was back after one play.
Joe, talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, guys, thanks.